The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at...
And the job that he looks for is a job with pigs. Now, can I tell you that the story that Jesus is referencing, because he's talking to the Hebrews and he's talking to the Jews, in biblical days, the Jews did not touch the pig. The Jews did not touch the pig. It was unlawful to touch anything unclean. So this young boy that Jesus is referencing in his story decides that now I am brought myself so low and am need so much that I am willing to touch something unclean. Have you ever had a void in your life and then you begin to look at all your options and you're willing to compromise because you need it that bad? Here's this young boy flying high, rolling large in daddy's house. Now he's on his own. He gives everything away and he goes, I'll do whatever it takes just to survive. It's amazing how you and I will compromise the integrity of our heart for the moment, but it was really our asking daddy if we can leave daddy's house. So this morning, I just wanted to dialogue and give you guys just a little dialogue into the story, because it says that the young boy left, he loses everything, and then while he's down on the ground, he's working with pigs, he comes to himself and he has a conversation with himself. There's three things that I want us to understand in the story. The first thing is that he lost something, he left something, and he loved something. This young boy left something, he lost something, but yet he loved something, and it's all in the story. He left something, he lost something, and then he loved something. The first thing that he lost or that he left was that he left the house. He left the house, and I like to look at the house not just as the physical place where he lived, but the house was his covering. See, dad was there. Dad was his covering, and can I tell you that you and I in our house needs to have a spiritual covering. We need a natural covering and a spiritual covering. For those of us that may have grown up without our dad, regardless of the story and the journey that you had with your dad, you still need to be covered in a fatherly way. Right now, as pastors, my wife and I, we have a pastor. His name is Pastor Steve Kelly. He is our pastor. He covers us. I can call him whenever I need him, because we need a spiritual covering and a natural covering. And the first place he leaves is his father's house. I wrote this down. When we leave the covering of spiritual fatherhood, we detach from life-giving sources. When we leave the house, we detach ourselves from life-giving sources. I don't know about you, but when I could not wait to be 18, and I use this phrase, to get up out of this house. Did anybody else have those feelings? When I'm 18, I'm going to get my own car. I'm going to get my own job. I'm going to have my own money. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to come into the house whenever I want. I'm going to get my own place. And what happens is the minute that I detach from my father's house and come from underneath the covering, the life source that got me to the place where I am is now detached. That's the reason why you and I labor so hard. Do you know that in other countries that there are families that will get married and they will move in with their families? And the reason why they move in with their families is because their families tell them that we're going to help establish you in this next season of your life, and then we're going to actually propel you into your next season in life. And so what we do here in our United States is we can't wait to get out, but in other cultures, they say, don't leave just yet. There is more that we want to give you that is more life-giving than what you have now. So what we're trying to get out of, everyone else is like, one more year, two more years, and they leave with houses, with money, their marriage is in good rhythm, whereas this young man says, get me up out of this house. I want to leave. When you and I leave from the covering of spiritual fatherhood, we detach from life-giving sources. This is the reason why it's important for all of us to be attached to a life-giving church. It's because sometimes you and I need to be parented in the right way. As a pastor, it's the toughest thing to submit myself to my pastor. But I realize in what God has called me to do, I need someone to cover us. I realized that there's an anointing and that there is, that's a spiritual word, meaning that there is a call of God. There is spiritual power on my pastor. And there is a level of success on my pastor that I want because I'm covered. So many of us will leave a good season and go to a new season and we'll wonder why things got tough. And the main reason is because you weren't supposed to leave the Father's house. Some of us, it's taken us a while to get back into church because when we were in church, we looked at the environment and said, I never want to be in the Father's house again. Some of us, we were cruising and life was going good, but somebody beside us told us that there was something better on the other side. So we left the Father's house and decided to go someplace else. And we got over to someplace else and realized all of my life was blessed over here. Can I tell you that since I've been a pastor, that we, my wife and I, we have spoken life in the couples, we have spoken life in the people, and they've given us 10 good reasons. This is not a church message, but I'm just showing you. They've given us 10 reasons of how they've grown in the church they were in or in the friendship they were in. And then they say this, but we feel like we're supposed to go someplace else. And I'm like, you just told me you put a seed in the ground. It was being watered. You got a new job. You got married. You're having children. God is healing your body. And there's something someplace else. Yeah, we just feel like, and they give me all these reasons why something wasn't working. And I was like, so what you're telling me is because you couldn't find your parking spot or someone asked you to move, that your harvest is now transferred to someplace you don't know yet. So you want to leave the Father's house and do it all on your own. And do you know what I have to look and do? I have to be like Dad and go, okay. Hey, the door is always open. So sometimes in our life, we will detach from life-giving sources when we're not covered. Here's the result of being spiritually and naturally fathered. As a mentor in here, as a father in here, this is what you give every single day of your life, whether you are strategically doing it or not. You provide provision, faith, wealth, health, protection, ethics, which is the conviction of your heart. And then there is the generational inheritance and blessing that you pass on. Every single day, you are scripting the life of someone around you, whether you are strategically doing it or not. This young man was in the Father's house. He had provision because it says that his dad had servants. It says that his dad had food enough on the servants' table that it could feed him. It said, when you read the end of the story, it says that while the son was in the field, the servant was in the field. So that tells me that his dad had property. It also tells me that his dad was a person of status. So in the Father's house, for you, there is provision, there is wealth, there is health, there is ethics, there is a conviction of what you should know, of who you will become, of how to walk with God. And then there's the generational blessing. The reason why this story was different was because in Bible days, the father's most important gift was not the money, but it was the father's blessing. Because when the father laid his right hand on his son, everything that was on him went to the son. The assets were minimal compared to what God had spoken to the dad. So when his son says, give me everything now, the dad said, all you want right now is my stuff, but he never got his hand laid on him. And the reason why he doesn't succeed is because he left with dad's stuff, but he didn't leave with dad's blessing. This is the reason why we stay undercovering, because in God's house, there is a spiritual blessing that flows down from pastors into our church body. It's the reason why we're spiritually covered, is because things come alive. There's things flowing into our house, and when we detach from that, it seems like life gets harder. Here's the second thing that I noticed. His son left freedom. His son left freedom behind. His son was demanding freedom. He wanted freedom. I'm out of here. I'm going, and I'm leaving right now. His son left freedom behind thinking that he was going to be free. His son left it behind. He was like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. His son left freedom thinking that he was going to freedom. But in demanding freedom, you will leave freedom. See, when I leave freedom, I'm uncovered. And that's the reason why when the attacks come, everything gets so tough. So he was running to be free, and then all of a sudden he finds himself, hey, can I get a job? I'll do whatever you want. Can I just work with your pigs? It says that he asked for the pig slop, and the people said, you can't even have the pig slop. Look at what freedom looks like when you are uncovered. In Father's house, he's got servants. Hey, Poonjam, Annie, just in case y'all haven't seen that. Hey, I want a cup of coffee. Hey, can you make up my bed? Hey, I want a sandwich. Hey, can you do... In Father's house, he has everything he needs. Money. Dad, I'm going to get some new Nikes. Okay, son. Dad, I'm taking the car out. All right, son. By himself. Hey, would you mind to give me a job? Would you mind? All of a sudden, he goes from being able to be in charge of the land, and now he's having to ask. See, when you leave the uncovering, thinking that you're going to be free, you've actually left freedom behind. I'll prove it to you. Genesis chapter 2, 15 says this. Genesis 2, 15 says, Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep to it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Adam had a great job. God put him in the garden. He said, hey, this whole garden is yours, bro. Whatever animal that I create, you go ahead and name. So Adam has the ultimate job. Can you imagine working for God? God puts you in a place, and he says you're in control. Oh, can I tell you that God puts you in a place and tells you that you're in control? The dream that you're dreaming about right now is the place that God wants you to be in control. It's amazing that God can put you in your purpose and your destiny and tell you you can control it. You can speak life to it. He looks at Adam. He says, the place where you are is the place I want you to be. He says, everything that I create around you, you name it, man. He said, but of this one tree now, don't touch that tree. So it says that he creates him, and then Adam, whatever Adam called each living thing, that was his name. Skip down to verse 25. Eve is formed, and he has his woman. And it says this in Genesis 2:25. It says, and they were naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were naked, not ashamed. Didn't even realize it because they were in the place that God created. They were covered. You go to Genesis chapter 1, and it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you should not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you surely die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you shall eat of it, and your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and it was a desirable tree to make one wise, she took of it and ate. She also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They detached from the covering of Father's house, looking for freedom. They eat from the tree, chasing freedom. Now they can see between good and evil. When they realize that they're not free, they try to go and cover themselves. God never meant for you to cover yourself. He meant for you to stay undercover. You're naked and you're not even afraid or ashamed because you're covered. You're covered in Dad's house. Little Noah is 6 years old and he still has a tendency to walk around with nothing on. He don't care. The other day we had friends over to the house. We had our city group leaders and Noah was just walking around bare chest. Why? Because he was in my house. He's not coming to your house shirtless. But in his house, he's like, what do I got to worry about? This is me. In your house, I got to have a shirt. Because he's outside of Dad's house. When you're outside of dad's house, you're trying to figure out how you can hide everything. But in God's house, under the spiritual covering of a dad and a father, I can be me. Life stinks right now. Life is amazing. I cannot believe I made that mistake, God. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. In dad's house, you can feel that way. And dad says, that's why you're here. But did you notice that when, watch, let me keep reading because I want to make sure that we get all this. Look, the last, verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called out to Adam, Adam, looking for you, man, where you at? We do this every single day. I'm here. It's our lunchtime to hang out. And he said, I indeed heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And the Lord looked at him and said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat of? He looks at Adam and says, you're naked? Did you eat and go after the freedom that I told you didn't exist? Now you're trying to cover yourself and you're hiding from me? Dad, who told you? Who exposed you like that? Can I tell you that when you leave the Father's house and you're chasing freedom, you leave the life-giving resources of God the Father? Have you ever tried to cover up your own mess? Many of us do because it could be that we don't have the covering. We're not under the cover of God. I wrote this down. Wearing the constraints of the Father's house is not to hold you back, but to set you up. My pastor says this. He says, sometimes, Damon, you have to wear the constraints of the vision. Meaning when God gives you a vision, you might want to do other stuff. But when God gives you a clear vision, you need to stay inside of that vision. And it may seem like it's confining you and constraining you, but you need to stay there. It's just like a budget. I want the car, but in my budget, it says, don't go and get a new payment right now. If I wear the constraints of the vision, then I will accomplish the vision. Here's what the son lost. So the son left the house, and he left his freedom thinking that he was going to gain it. The son lost his original design in God, thinking that he was going, he was going to find himself, he was going to be his man. The story says that he comes to himself and is like, what am I doing here? In my father's house, I had this, that, and the other. If my father's house, I would have food. In my father's house, if I can just go back to my dad, I'll just tell him I just want to be a servant, which is less than who I really was. When I was undercover, I was a ruler in my father's house. Now, since I'm out here in my own freedom, I'll just go back and ask him if I can just be a lowly slave. It's amazing that when we leave the covering and we go after the freedom and it doesn't really exist because it existed in the Father's house, we give up our original design. He looks at himself and he says, I'll just be a servant. I'll go back to Dad and I'll just say, Dad, just let me be a servant. You and I will risk losing our original design if we leave the Father's house. Here's what Mark 8 says. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I looked up the word soul and it meant this, the breath of life, the seed of feelings, desires, affections, aversions. The soul insofar as to it is constituted, sorry, that by the right use of the aids offered it by God, it can attain its highest and secure eternal blessedness. Inside of you and I, there is a purpose of God. There's a life of God that exists. And by leaving the Father's house, we can lose the purpose and hand it over. Whereas if we stay attached to God, he actually fulfills the purpose in us. So what will it profit you if you exchange it? Worship team, you can come up. I'm wrapping up. So here's the question that I want to ask you this morning as we finish up. What can I gain in my immaturity that doesn't exist in the Father's house? What can I gain on my own that Daddy can't give me? What can you get on your own that God the Father can't give you? What can you answer? What question can you answer that God can't do? Is there anything that you can do that Daddy can't? That's the question that, as I was thinking about him handing over his purpose and his desire, all I could think about is in my immaturity, as I'm growing older, what is it that I really can do that doesn't exist in Dad's house? And here's the truth. The truth is that if you and I make up our mind to live without God, he'll grant your request. If you and I choose to leave the Father's house, he'll grant your request. It's frightening that the son goes to Dad and Dad says, okay, if you want to try to figure it out on your own, go ahead. I have a 9-year-old, like I said, he thinks he knows everything. And something I said, okay, David, you want to learn that the hard way? Okay, buddy. And I know he's only 9, but remember I told you that if he's a teenager, I'm going to hit him with a chair. Y'all remember that? So sometimes I let him scrape his knee. I let him scrape his knee because he wants to jump off the roof. And I know it looks like fun, but I'm trying to tell you, son, don't jump off the roof right now. That's concrete. It's not grass underneath there, son. It's concrete. Nah, dad. Boom! Oh, dad! I hit myself on the concrete. Dad told you it was concrete there, right, son? Yes, dad, it hurts. Oh, dad, sorry that it hurts, son. You going to do it again? No, dad. Not going to do it again, dad. It's amazing that you and I might want to live without God, and sometimes he'll do it. Here's the last thing. The son lost. He left the house. He left his freedom. He lost his original design. But at the end of the day, he loved his dad. Because the one person he could think about in that story was that in Dad's house, I had all of this. And he says, if I can just go back to Dad, I know Dad will welcome me in, even if it's just as a servant. So it says that he gets up and he starts walking to his dad. And it says that while he was walking, his dad could see him afar off. Either Dad's house had tons of clear windows, or it was really high. Or maybe Dad had LASIK surgery. I wonder if when the son started coming back, I wonder if Dad had already been looking for him. I wonder if Dad had been waiting, because here's the thing that I realized, that the son left the house and he left his freedom. But when you and I leave the Father's house, the Father leaves discouraged. He leaves disheartened, and he leaves heartbroken. When you and I leave, Dad also leaves. Dad leaves heartbroken. He leaves discouraged because everything that he thought that he had done to make sure that he handed off to you in the right place, now he feels like he's missed it. He feels like he's failed. Can I tell you that the times when you and I turn away from God and we pull away, can I tell you that God leaves like, maybe there's something that I didn't give them that they really wanted. I know it seems amazing because you're talking about a big, big God, and he's got so many of us that he loves. But I believe that since God is Father, I believe that when you and I turn away, he leaves brokenhearted. He leaves discouraged because he's like, this is my prized possession, and I so desire to cover them. But it says that Dad was looking, and when Dad saw him, Dad said, I'm not staying here on the porch. See, you and I will leave our design, but God will also leave his dignity, because in Bible days the story says that he girded up his loins, if you read some of the original text, and it was not good for the men to actually pull up the garment that they were wearing and show their legs. It was not good for them to do that because it was almost like a sign of being less dignified than what they were. But it says that the father started running, and so he pulled up what he was wearing, girded his loins, almost bringing it to the place that looks uncomfortable. And it says that he brings it up and he starts running to his son. So while you and I are leaving our divine purpose, the father says, I'm leaving my dignity because I'm coming to get my son. So it says that he starts running after the sun, and he meets the sun. So much so that by the time he gets to the sun doesn't even know what to say. All he can say is, I'm sorry. Can I tell you that when you and I leave the covering and we decide that we want to get back underneath the covering of God, God doesn't just sit back and say, yeah, you should be coming to me. Yeah, come on. He's not the Godfather. Yeah, come on. I'll give you a number you can't refuse. No. He's not sitting back. They're just saying, yeah, you deserve to come back to me. It's clear that the Father is so anticipating you and I running back unto the covering that he says, everybody else, stay right here. And he goes and he starts running. And before the son can even say, Dad, I'm so sorry. Dad, I was so wrong. He says, come here. And the story says that he embraces the son. And the son's like, Dad, I'm so sorry. Have you ever been in a place where you've done something so wrong and you're trying to over-apologize and you just keep going and they're like, it's okay. And you go, but no. I got to tell you, everything that I did was so wrong. I cannot believe the way I treated you. And he's like, no. And he's just embracing him saying, I've been looking for you. I've been waiting for you. The reason why I knew that you were coming around the corner is because no one has been coming down this road in a long time. But the minute I saw you, I knew that it was you. So he looks at his servant and he says, hey, go get him a new robe. Go get him a new robe. He threw his old one away. Go get a new ring. He threw he done pawned that. Go get that. Get him some new sandals. Go get him some new clothes. Bring it on here. We're throwing a party. Hey, you know that fattened calf? Before he left, it was skinny. Now, since he's returned, it's fat. I love that it was a fat calf because it shows that Dad was waiting. It shows that Dad had a party planned. We're going to raise this one up. When that boy come back home, this is the one we're going to kill. So he says, go get the calf that we've been waiting on because my son is home. Can I tell you that no distance from Dad will ever cause Dad to say, you're not welcome home. He looks back at him and says, hey, you thought you had left everything forever. Welcome back to Dad's house. He says, hey, you thought you had left your freedom? Hey, bring back the robe, bring back the ring, bring back his shoes. You're still in charge. Go ahead. But I thought I had lost my purpose and my destiny. No, you're back at Daddy's house. Whatever he tells you to do, you do. Whatever he tells you to do, you do. See, I love it that when you are leaving things, you're losing things, so is God the Father. It's crazy to think that we feel like we're the only one and God's like, oh, I'm so heartbroken. You're so far away. But he's like, they hear ya? Not today. Okay. They hear ya? Not today. And then Dad's like, I'm not even going to ask. That's you. Come here. See, when you leave and you lose, Dad leaves and he loses. When you love Dad, Dad's already loved you. It's a crazy thing. It's crazy to think that there's just three things that the story tells us. That there's something that was left, something that was lost, and something that was loved. See, Dad loves you. And he's always loved you. And it's never going to change. And so we're celebrating Father's Day. And all I can tell you is that God the Father doesn't want you to leave his covenant. God the Father doesn't want to detach from you in any way. And I don't know where you are in life. You might be like me. I try to do a lot on my own. This morning, God is looking at you. He's like, it's Father's Day. Come on. Come on back home. Come on, I got you. Get back underneath the covering because your purpose and your destiny is clear cut. I just got to put the robe back on you and the ring back on you and the shoes because you're still exalted in a high place in my house. Jesus says this. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. He says, now, I'm going away to prepare a place for you so that when I come again, I can receive you as my own and bring glory to God the Father. See, Jesus clearly says that in Daddy's house, there is many mansions and there's room for you in Daddy's house. It's in Daddy's house. Will you bow your head? This morning, you're in this building.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.